And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah. Unafeared, here and declare your independence. I'm here in the Stancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAU Tiefel Studios of Phoenix, the last Phoenix, All right, not the best. All right, what we're going to do is in the third hour, we have a woman coming on. I'm really looking forward to this. It is, what's her name? Dr. L-L-E-A-N-A. Leanna Johnson Paul. Now, she is from Romania. She speaks like five languages. And it was a listener from near Tucson sent me a link, and he said, you know, watch this. I think this might be the answer to your, you know, if it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land thing. And I go, all right. Well, I started watching it, and I go, oh, hell yeah. Now, this was in 2015. Now, it was about that time that we had Rosa Corey came. It was a 13, 14, 15 round in there. At she did Behind the Green Mask, a book. She's a lefty liberal lesbian from San Francisco working for the government to price eminent domain of took your property for and kind of thing. So it is a... an understanding, she started to see that she wasn't doing good by people and the environment, and she was just taking people's property to give it to some private developer to build a mall. And she's going, whoa, 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 what the heck is going on here? Now, this other woman came to the same conclusion from a different perspective, and it was, yeah, how they're doing this, it is a United Nations program. It's a thing, you know? And I'm going, wow. All right. Well, when you watch it, you'll go, yeah, of course they got to take over your property rights. Of course you're not able to. Of course you don't get, you know, the mineral right. Of course you don't have any and everything you can do. Of course you got restrictions and, you know, you have to. It's kind of, it's fascism. It's what happened in Nazi Germany when they took. Yeah, it's kind of your business, but guess what you're doing with it, you know? So it is, this is not American, and I don't think a lot of people even understand the things that make America so powerful and us so such a powerhouse have been eroded and taken away. And we're talking to Karen Katowski in the last hour about, you know, stuff international and the presidency and so on, but mostly Virginia. You know, what's going on there. The Democrats, by whatever, you know, they got in charge of the government. You know, we're a majority governor legislature, and we're going to show you what's up. And they did. And big thing, we're going to mandate all these vaccines, and we're going to take away all your guns. What are you going to do about it? So this, they have a thing called Lobby Day. Lobby Day is January 20th, and we were doing everything we could to get a bunch of supplies to these guys, you know, for that. And they're going to go to the legislature, and we want this about that, to the point that the governor declared a state of emergency to take away their gun rights. Because in Virginia, like Arizona, you take your gun down there, and you know, what's up, you know? Well, there they go, no. Bunch of Democrats, you know, keep the guns away. They're scaring me. Well, I don't know. I don't know if they're meant to scare you, but it definitely meant to, you know, I have a right to carry it, you know. And, well, there might be violence. All the more reason to carry your gun. I mean, God, this is just the mentality is, it's, they call it, what was the word? I think it was Vince Soprenowitz or Elnio Smith came up with it. It's called hoplophobia. And hoplophobia means the fear of weapons. And I'm wondering what that, how far down that goes. I mean, oh no, get her away from me. She's got long fingernails. I mean, I don't even know what that means. So it's a coming. Now, I had asked Donna on the economy. I wanted to get a percentage of homes. It was 51.5%. Now it's 49.4%. So it went down a little bit. I whatever that means, but it's half, 49.4. Half of the homes that are active, single family homes for sale in Maricopa County, here where Phoenix is vacant. Half of the homes are vacant that are for sale. That can't be a good sign. And it was at 33%. It was over 30, and I was shocked it was over 30% when the last 2007-2008 crash happened in the housing, when that started. And I remember coming on the air and I'm going, whoa, there's over 30% of them are vacant? What the heck is... And now it's half. Why? Because a lot of them are vacant homes and not and whatever, didn't perform or under of whatever the hell from last time. You know, the banks just hold these because they might as well put them on the books at something, you know, better than what they actually sell and what they're worth, so they can show to get their, because then what? You know, they show they're losing money, you know, so I'm there's things that happening. All right. Now, Davi's in, and what we did yesterday, last night, you know, we started research, and Davi's been reading a lot of things, and James Corbett suggested that we're already going to do it, but, you know, it's a good suggestion, is that we read the Outer Space Treaty, which was 1967-68, around there, and then there was another one done in 1315. It was called the Space Competitiveness Act of, which means not compete, because whatever they say it is, it's opposite of whatever they say, and because in the Outer Space Treaty, it was all about nations. No nation shall this. No nation shall that. No, fine. Well, I'm not a nation, so bite me. I can do whatever the hell I want. I'm in space. Peace out. Well, that was part of the treaty. 100 kilometers up. That's why we say anarchy's only 62 miles away. Because you get up out in the outer space, which is, they say, you know, 100 kilometers up, there's no jurisdiction. There's no who's in charge. Nobody. You know, until Space Force, and then they'll tell you who's in charge with their plasma rifle. But, you know, I'm like, you know, once you get 360 in a spherical, I mean, it's super duper exponential of the amount of space you got to, there's no way. And, you know, the orbit of the asteroid belt, you know, how many space cruisers they got to have there, and what happens when Earth no longer becomes the primary port? Now, a lot of this material you probably need on Mars. You know, a lot of this material you need on the moon, or your own space station, or heck, you got your own exploration outpost of the Leave Me Aloneism of the Mormon colony, and the, you know, that was what L. Neil Smith wrote a book. It was called Palisades. What was the Palace? P-A-L-L-A-S is the largest asteroid in the asteroid belt, or second largest. I think Ceres might be the biggest. But they, so this was, it was a whole story about colonies in the asteroid belt. This is, and the whole point is that we're going to space and government's not invited, and they invite themselves, and you're not allowed to have guns, kind of thing. I mean, it was just, it's always guns. So, especially with El Nino. But the as we look at this, you can see 50 years ago, they were planning for what it is that they wanted to do and saw where the threat was coming. It's from you. So, are you prepared to talk about some of that, Dov? You read a little bit?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, what was the kind of the gist? We only got a minute here before we hit, so real quick, just give us a summary of what we're going to talk about in the next
segment. Well, most of what I read, God, what was the name of it? It's the Space Competitiveness Act of whatever, I don't remember the exact name, but most
it's
of it...
It's not competitive, yeah, I guarantee that was, they put that in the name.
That was basically it, was we're the government and we're going to make sure that you all compete fair.
According to
we're going to make sure that any, they call them space participants or something, space something, anybody who goes into space, whether they're government agents or private citizens or whatever, they've got to have insurance, and they've got to be under federal jurisdiction, and they've got to make sure they don't stub their toe, and they've got to, so it's basically like, we're going to regulate every single thing that you do if you go into space. That's what it said.
I'm not even sure that's even possible, you know, but that doesn't mean they're not going to make the It's one of those things where, and I don't care, and it really matters that you don't care. You know, where's the check-in point? How are we going to barcode this asteroid? I mean, whatever. We'll talk about it. We'll be right back.
The overall picture in the real estate market today is one of frustration when you take many factors into consideration. The housing market pundits would have you believe that everything is okay, but the long-term trending on the real estate numbers say otherwise. You are starting to see another wave of commercial and retail center vacancies, which follows a downturn in the residential market. So when you are ready to sell your house, I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what you can expect before, during, and after the transaction. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way, and that includes professionals that can help after the sale to help protect your assets. So let's get moving today. Please feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, or visit my webpage at donnahancock.com.
You're listening to the best Liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hanlon.
Come down. It's time. And then, are you ready? Are you got your shield? You know they're going to do the hammer on you. You got your Captain America shield. You know, against the Thor hammer. You know. Let's see. I'm interested in this. This is the confidence that I have as American, and I'm just going. You know, they push until you're going to make me get off my couch. Set down my six pack, turn off football and Super Bowl after that's done, and get some down to real business. But you go, you're gonna make me get involved. You're gonna make me. You want to make me? You're gonna make me? Okay, you make me. Let's do it. Let's rock. Here it comes. You're just seeing signs of it. And a lot of times on the left, they'll yell and scream and moan and whatever. But what you don't see is a movement. You just see media. Covenant as if it was a movement. It is, you know, they want to see, this is what I keep saying over the years. I said, look, they already know they can't convince you. They got whoever else they can convince. They put them through university and, you know, got a big student debt and told them what's what, and they don't have a job now, but they're precariat. And you go, they don't need to convince you. They just need to confuse you. They just want to confuse you. You're not sure. God, I thought, you know, they gaslight you. Are you really sure you think you saw that? You sure it was a flying saucer that came down and bunked on your head, right? You sure it wasn't a Frisbee hit you? Are you sure? You know? So it's just, you know, they do that. You know, are you sure? They want to just take away your confidence. It wasn't you and all your friends. It was those crazy everybody else neighbors. They're the ones that are crazy. You know, they don't want to convince you. They just want to confuse you or convince you that everybody else is crazy. You know, and it's just it's them. So now you have in Virginia, you got a bunch of liberals, left, statists, whatever you want to call them, have taken over control of the legislature. So they're going, oh, it's time now. We always knew this day would come, and boom, we mandate and require and make, and you got it, and everybody went, what? Well, what did they do? When they didn't want to enforce immigration laws, you know, whether you do or not, it's not even the point. It's just they go, sanctuary city, and we don't have to enforce and suck it, and we can do it. And they go, oh, okay, that works. All right, we'll do that. We got a sanctuary city of you get to have your guns. Now what? Oh, you need a sheriff is just going to deputize everybody? You're all in the posse? Now you get to have your guns? And so now what? Now what? Well, I remember Dianne Feinstein, Boxer Feinstein out of California, when they did assault weapons ban, and it increased by magnitude the gun ownership in America. And I remember her going on 60 Minutes and saying, well, they're violating the spirit of the law. And the spirit of the law was disarmament. That was the goal. And they go, well, they're like violating our wishes of we rule you and you're not allowed, you're supposed to have less guns and you're supposed to turn them in and you're buying more. Well, that violates what we wanted. So you can't do that. You obviously know what we wanted to do. We wanted to disarm you and you're not being disarmed. So you're doing it wrong. Wow. This is the attitude. But it doesn't stop. It's coming from somewhere else, somewhere outside, something that, you know, it's just a, and you got they, them, those, can sling around a little bit of money, then they get whatever they want. Now we're going to where, and you do the Carl Sagan thing, and you turn Voyager around from Saturn kind of deal, and it looks back at the Earth, and you see, there it is, that pale blue dot way out over there. And how is it going to enforce? Hell, it can't even do it in the outskirts of their capitals and the counties of, and people are like, no, you're going to do it in another freaking planet? How does that happen? As you take government with you, we're going to space and government's not invited. Widget Sajini. You know, that's why I came up with that. I mean, it's just, you know, the mindset that, you know, don't be doing this. Doing what? Take this thing with you. That's the whole point of why you go to the new world, why you go explore, why you get away. I need to go over here. Where's my beach? Something. Now there's no place left here. It's what drives humanity out. Is that the goal? You know, they want to, you know, let's go explore the universe and make them with this here cattle prod. Wow. You know, and then it's like sending out, you got explorer class spaceships. That was kind of one of the things of the Enterprise. Was it a war wagon or was it an exploratory vehicle with some guns? So this is, you know, that's kind of the argument. When you go out, do you take your guns on the wagon train? Hell yeah. Do you put a 50 caliber in the back of the Conestoga wagon? I don't know, maybe. But, you know, that you might want the weight and resources for something else. You know, that's up to you. I guarantee when government thing goes, that's interesting. I wonder what kind of, you know, it's always, well, you know, we can't have guns, so they 3D printed them. That was in the Lost in Space. They aren't supposed to have guns, so they had their machine print one. And it had to be, you had to override the code to be able to do whatever, you know. So this is, you know, interesting stuff. And Davi's in the middle of it. Okay, he's back in the bathroom. All right. Now, yeah. You have the two main documents that we're starting off with, and then, of course, we'll get into a bunch of other stuff. But the first thing is, the way it is now, we got the space treaty, which is only, I don't know, it's not that long.
The space treaty is like a page and a half.
Turn the microphone
the,
over
the to treaty you. On principles of governing the activities of states and the exploration of the use of outer space, including the moon. They should have made an acronym for this.
I'm afraid what it'd be. But they keep going nations, nation state, nation, yeah. Nation, nation, nation. They weren't talking about individuals or private companies. Didn't even occur to them.
Yeah. Well, the other one does. The commercial space.
Yeah, but when was that written?
Does. I don't know when it was written.
It was like, it was recent. It was 13, 15, something. It wasn't too long ago.
Let me see here.
I think they had to wait until SpaceX starts to, you know, showing they can. And they went, whoa, 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 whoa.
2015.
Yeah, so it's like less than 5 years ago. You know, or 5 years ago, we got, okay, damn private people out there with money. You're going to start, you know, damn it. All right, so here we have.
So, yeah, there's the stuff in here. We need launch licenses. We need to know that it's federal jurisdiction. We need orbital traffic control management, which will be under the Department of Transportation. We need
here it comes.
Like, it's basically DMV in space. That's what this is about.
Wow. Can you get far enough away? Well, I tell you the story that kind of wraps this up. When we went to Spaceship One, and after they did the first one, and we did the pictures, and we got our sign, Spaceship One, Government Zero, and all that stuff, we had fun. We're in the hangar, and the press and stuff is in there. There's a guy that came out, and he said, oh, yeah, I'm the guy. And he was just some, you know, blunky guy, and what he did is they went to the FAA and do a flight plan. We're going to do this, go up in space, come down, and go, all right, peace, cool, whatever. Well, don't we need a permit to go to space? And they go, no, we need a piece of paper saying we don't need a piece of paper then. Boom! Right. They created the infrastructure. I go, you guys are killing me, man.
Is spreading the message of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace around.
Yeah, that right there was my dawning of how you create this kind of stuff. It was a guy, and I'm sure I got his pictures somewhere. We were taking a bunch of pictures then. He comes up because we were standing there holding the signs up. We had like six different signs. Government's lost in space. Free enterprise brought to you by, space brought to you by free enterprise. And the Enterprise Star Trek font. We had Spaceship One, Government Zero. You can't hear the government scream in space. I mean, stuff like that. Okay. So we were having fun. So as we were in that thing, I would just stand there and hold up a sign for, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes till I got tired, and then bring it down, flip it around, do another one, And so people would come up and they just thought I was something. I don't know, whatever. We had a bunch of the other guys there doing the same thing. And my sons were there and they're taking pictures and such. And I remember they had hippy dippy long hair back then. So as we were doing that, one of the guys came up and we started I was talking to some of the astronauts and stuff too, but they're chatting up with him, and he explained that he represented the airport, the Mojave Airport there, where they have scaled composites that built the ship. And their concern was they didn't want to get in trouble with somebody. They wanted, nobody's going to come shoot me. So they went to the FAA and they said, the flight plan that Burt Rutan had done is that, we're going to take off here, do this, go up this high, come back, no big deal, no muss, no fuss. Fine. Where is it that we're not going to get in trouble? The airport. So they went to the FAA, and he explained to me that he went in and said, we need to have a permission slip of launch from here to go in space. And they go, well, we don't have that. There's nothing that we got to, stop you. And he goes, okay, well, I need a piece of paper saying you don't have a piece of paper.
Yeah.
That's how it happened. And I go, why did you just create, you just created a bureaucracy for this, right? Oh, you can't have just anybody going in space. And I go, why? Well, because you can't.
They might be the wrong people.
You think that you should just have anybody just go to space? And I'm going, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? How are you going to stop them? What's your justification for the safety of the... I'm looking out in the Mojave Desert out there. I'm like, right, are you afraid you're going to hit a tortoise or something? I mean, this is... It's that attitude. That's how you create... Well, don't you think I need somebody else to give me... Now, what you really need is an environment of liability. You're responsible. You damage something... They said, you did it? Well, then you pay. Get insurance. I'll go to the insurance company for what? But they have permission for you to leave the planet. Who's going to give permission for you to leave the planet? I don't know, but they want to create one. You're not allowed to leave. We have a launch! And I remember the astronaut farmer, when he launched from his farm, and they're sitting there watching him go, well... Do we scramble? I mean, what do we do?
Shoot him down.
Shoot him down.
No,
shoot
him. No,
they
no.
want you to be afraid of that, though.
Well, there's a section of this law called Streamlining Commercial Space Launch Activities. So the government's going to make it easier for us.
Okay, hold on. We're coming back. I just wanted to finish my thought on that, and you can explain it to us when we come back to live audience here. And 30 seconds.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Turn that dial all the way. Shoot me like a rocket in the space. Loving every minute of it. Loving every minute of it.
Shoot that rocket.
Loving every minute of it. Come on!
Yeah, come on! Let's just fire it and light her up and then light this candle and get her done. Woohoo! I need Buck Rogers, man. I need the attitude. I need a lot of the people now, they may be excited about it, and it's kind of cool, and I'm glad that Elon Musk has made it, sexy and fun and all that, but you have no idea. People that weren't around then. I lived in Florida until I was 12, early 72, around there. I think we moved to Arizona, and I was inundated. I mean, a little kid walking around at eye level, you had, rocket fins on every freaking Cadillac. I mean, every car was all rocket. I was disappointed. I remember they had one exhaust coming out the back of a station wagon that looked kind of like a like a rocket engine, your little thruster, you know, kind of had. They got the fins on it and everything. They were really beating up the space thing. And I go in and I look in and I go, that's just an exhaust pipe. Those liars, you know? I'm like, yeah, you're just jerking with me here, man. I want my Batmobile turbines of speed. You know, so this has been the excitement that we had that they played on was this, but it was always NASA, private, civilian, government, something. It wasn't military, which is, you know, laughable. But you look at this, and it wasn't the private people. If there was a private person that had a rocket or went to space, he was Dr. Evil, okay?
Yeah.
It was a bad guy. You know, only bad guys want to go to space on their own. Yeah, it's a psyop, this whole thing. Well, that's changed, and that's what has got them worried. And that, oh my God, a private guy has the capability, the equipment, the ability, and getting the money to go to Mars and go boom. Well, guess what? It ain't your flag. You know, and what's interesting to me is that you have Elon Musk is now Tesla has a higher value than Ford. It is the most expensive, the most valuable car company, whatever, and it's American. And the American government, you know, how much are they supporting it? You know, this electrical subsidy kind of whatever. But the industry and government, they went after him every which way. You guys don't think so? Where do you go to buy a Tesla? You're not allowed to. You have to buy it online, go deliver it. They aren't allowed to have a dealership. You can't have a car. Here in Scottsdale, Arizona, they have a Tesla showroom that doesn't have a car. You buy keychains and stuff, and you can order.
It's a merchandise store?
Yeah, you can't even order from there. You're not allowed to.
What's the point of it?
Just a branding and sell crap and maybe promote it and show it.
I mean, I've seen Harley shops like that.
Right. You know, well, see, the reason is because of the law. You have to have a car franchise. It's to protect franchisees of major car dealerships. That's what the deal is. The laws are, you have to have a private dealer franchise go through. They go, well, that's kind of the whole point we were trying to get away from. You know, we wanted to do different service. I don't know how service is. People bitch about service a lot of times. But, you know, you're not allowed to have, like, you know, a place that just does service. It's got to be the model of whatever the hell they wrote, you know, and put you in with their, you know, keep the Saab dealership in business or something. So to think that, oh, well, Elon, he's getting so much government help over, nah, not really. Okay. So I don't care.
He's the opposite. He doesn't ask for government help. Like he the whole thing with
he takes
with
advantage
tubes.
Of the electrical subsidy thing, and people yell at him because he even takes advantage of it. I'm like, yeah,
I guess
well,
what I mean
it.
Is he doesn't ask for permission.
What do you mean?
There was I think it was the Joe Rogan interview. He was talking about testing his like underground hypertube or whatever.
Yeah,
and there was a thing about like he just started digging in his own lot, and nobody. And Rogan was like, you didn't get like a permit? You didn't submit structural plans to the city? And he's like, no, why would I do that?
Totally different mindset and intellectual property. You know, all of Tesla, the patents and the motor and everything, he just put out in the open. He goes, yeah, you want to do it? This is how you do it. You think you can do it better? Knock yourself out. You know? And
yeah.
They're like, damn it. You know, and then he didn't patent the Merlin engine, his rocket engines. He doesn't, you know, they go, well, how come you don't patent them using intellectual property right there? He goes, because why? You know, he goes, who would I sell it to? Me? I mean, you know, you want to do it? Buy an engine and reverse engineer it yourself. Peace out. You know, I'm not going to write it down so you can copy it. You know, it's like, no. Yeah, so this is, it's a totally different attitude, and he's outside the cage on a lot of this stuff, and I don't know if they know what to do. Now, Elon, the perfect great guy, would know. I don't care. That's not my point. The inspiration that he's been to my grandkids is amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, we used to have Saturn V. We made a big deal out of that, and I'd show them videos and the power of, and you turn up the speakers, and you kind of... you know, you get them, ooh, that's cool, and you show what can be done and the progression of SpaceX and, you know, why it's such a big deal that they saved some of the rocket and what I thought when I was a kid, and now it's looking like the rockets when I was a kid, their age, yada, 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 yada. So now they're all, you know, pumped up, you know, and then, you know, Dr. Frank got me a Space Force bumper sticker. And I got two. I got, yeah, there it is. I got one, you know, I gave to my granddaughter and really my son. I mean, because he liked the Trump part. But the Space Force, I'm not feeling better, any, you know, about it. But they're going to what? They're going to order about a gazillion X-Wing fighters or something. You know, they're going to do troop carriers. Within 40 minutes, they can have a bunch of troops anywhere on the planet. You know they're going to do that because they can. And
robots. Space Force will be fought by robots.
Don't laugh. Probably.
I'm not.
Well, you know, one of the things is the Starlink, you know, not Starlink, the Starship, these are take hundreds of Marines and their equipment, and you just land them anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at a moment's notice, they're just sitting, they spend, you know, 4-hour shifts just sitting there in their seat ready to push the button. And, oh, next crew, you know, I'm off now. That's it's your shift. You know, boom, they just pushed a button. That's what the scramble fighters and yet nuclear war, you know, you had SAC, Strategic Air Command. That's what that was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there would be a Strategic Space Command. It would be SSC, Strategic Space Command. You know, they had a Strategic Air Command. That was SAC. Okay, so you got, you know, Strategic Space Command, the SSC.
The
they're going to have that.
Strategic Underwater Command suck.
Already, you know, that's happening too. You know, they're gonna and that was one thing I was watching, Propulsion. They're doing, you know, space and a lot of this stuff. There was a guy, Kyle Lathwaite, Eric Lathwaite. I just happened to come across, I think we got it on Freedom's Phoenix today. I happened to come across this guy from early 71, 72. He was a scientist in Britain, and they had a BBC Two where they had the British science community, whatever, on TV. And he did, like, YouTubes explaining maglev. They call them linear electric motors. It was like you take the round outside part of a motor and you just unzip it and you lay it out flat. Well, the armature and the rotor, you had the rotor is really like the train, and it just goes along this track. Just like it's spinning inside a circle, you open that circle and it goes, that's maglev. Well, mm-hmm. He explained it. I got more from him from 72. What is that, 40 years or something? You know, I got 40, 50 years ago. This guy explained it, and I'm going, thank God. I've been watching this and all the animated kind of, he made it so simple from the beginning of understanding electricity, magnetism, electromagnetic and magnetic fields, and how, and the river and the flow of, and different explanations. And he would go to the science community. They have their big auditorium, and he explains all this stuff. They abandoned him. They were like, nope, you're crazy. You can't, you know, why did you, you're not allowed. And I got the impression it was like the movie Aztec, where the priesthood knew all the stuff. They didn't want you to give the secrets to the peasants. They didn't want everybody else to understand. And he did an experiment with a gyroscope, just like having a barbell on one end, just spinning it really fast. And he lifted it with one hand and spun it around. And the weight, he was called the anti-gravity guy. And he made himself lighter on a scale by a gyroscope, and then a guy invented it from inspiration.
From the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Sounds kind of spacey. Yeah, I was. We have up on Freedom's Phoenix over the last couple of days. I've been putting some stuff up. There was a guy, his professor. Here, I'll show you. Professor Eric Laithwaite, Laithwaite. Now Imperial College of London had a scientist doing stuff and demonstrating, doing science and so on, and like a YouTube channel. You know, but it was BBC Two, and it was very popular. And where's this guy been? I had no idea this guy even existed. Now, this is 1968. He's doing these films have made it to YouTube, and they had since like 2013. Well, I just happened to come across one. I'm like, whoa, who's this guy? Because I watched one of his videos, and he explained how maglev trains work from the beginning of them seeing an effect that you could get to not only levitate, but to lock it on, you know, where it wouldn't go off left or right in a magnetic field and have propulsion. And he walked it through the experiments of what they found out each time and the understanding of magnetism, magnetic fields, and electromagnetic fields. And I'm going, I learned more from this 1972 thing than all the freaking crap I've been, what? Who is this guy? And then you find out that he was excommunicated from the scientific community after he did this one experiment. And what it was is, he goes, it was an anti-gravity gyroscope. And what it was is, he goes, you know, all you have to do is you spin up, and he did it live on television, and he showed, and this is the guy that took that, was inspired by it, and then went and did it. Now, this is what he did. Okay, I'm just going to turn off the sound here. They spun up a gyroscope really fast. It's like a barbell with just a barbell on one end, and it's like 50 pounds, and he holds it, an old man, with one hand, and he puts it around above his head, and it comes down. Now, when he did that, if you're on a scale, there's other experiments he did. He's standing on a scale. All of a sudden, he's like, 50, 100 pounds lighter. Just boom, it dropped the weight. Standing there holding a gyroscope, he became lighter. Well, then another guy goes, hey, man, that's cool. He was inspired, a Scottish engineer. So what did he do? He created the machine. Based on that, he had this machine that did and used the forces of, there are forces at play here. And what it did is it made it lighter. It went up. It was an anti-grav effect. Well, then when you start talking about anti-gravity, I had a article, the secrets of anti-gravity or something. I can use my own search engine on Freedom's Phoenix. So I go in and I go, anti-gravity. It's something I wrote a long time ago, because I came across, I'm going, nah, they're definitely not wanting us to know about this. Now, what they did is, you take they find UFOs, and they kept talking about this iridescent kind of lighted purple liquid that was everywhere. When the thing crashed, you had this purple liquid. What it was a magnetic fluid. It's like they do it with putting iron filings inside mercury, and then they put it in a donut. They call it a toroid or something like that. And you, just hit it and spin that up really fast, and on it gives an anti-gravity effect. And you go, really? How does it do that? Well, I got a bunch up here. See if I can find that. Anti-gravity this, anti-gravity project, anti-gravity, secret anti-gravity. So anyway, I got one in here that I wrote. And probably put Ernest Hancock, it'll come up. But I'm going, there is something going on here. And it was, there was a Kim Lin or so. She was a American Chinese of Georgia Tech, I think it was. And she was in a Popular Mechanics magazine where she talked about, with this, they were able to only raise a bowling ball like a 16th of an inch. Ah, it doesn't count. You only raised it a 16th. That don't matter. I'm like, what? You were able to raise a thing from and what? So then it just kind of went away. And you look online for it, and that was what my story was about. They had stripped it. You had to go and to the library and go find past editions of it to read the article. Then you go, well, where's the PDF? Somebody, that was stripped. What? The internet. Now, of course, it came back since then, you know, and they talk, and she kind of disappeared in the DARPA of what the hell. So this stuff, anti-gravity, there is a lot of evidence that they're covering up a bunch of stuff. And that was the point that I was making. I was showing, you know, where a lot of people, what they've done, and talking physicists on yada, 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 yada. And that wasn't really my point. My point was, is we're going to be captured by a scientific technological elite, of which the side effect that of that is the military industrial complex. And they're, you know, and they're not telling you. For me to find this from 60s and the early 70s, a scientist that was demonstrating this on television, and then I saw a bunch of videos of how people were inspired by this from the United Kingdom, a bunch of British, Scottish, you know, Irish guys back there, you know, and inspired them, and they're doing their experiments and everything, and then that's suppressed, and you're not allowed. Okay? It's like the priests in the Aztec culture, you know, the, what do they call it?
It's like a technocratic clergy.
I'm sorry, what?
It's like a technocratic clergy.
Yeah, it was Apocalypto. I think that's what it was. Mel Gibson's thing about the Aztecs or something.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think that's what it was. And it was, you know, they're, you know, ripping out hearts of everybody, and, you know, they vanquished this one tribe, and they line them up, and they're, you know, drug them, and they're ripping out their hearts and the beating heart and roll the bodies down, whatever. I mean, they're, you know, blood sacrifice because they knew an eclipse was coming. And if you live your whole life and in the middle of the day it's like light and all of a sudden it goes dark at 2 in the afternoon and the guy going ooba gooba 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 and the priest does whatever and, you know, please be, we love you and our king, whatever, and then the sun comes back, you're the guy in charge now, okay? Because you know something nobody else does.
Right. Don't do it again.
More bodies. Yeah, you better, you know, next time there'll be a bigger sacrifice, you know.
Yeah.
So this is,
it makes me think about the, like, one of the major theories of the Roswell, New Mexico crash is that it was an experimental aircraft. And it's always looked to me like the way that at least the circular flying saucers work was rotational motion, that they the way that they hover, the way that they do, is because of the way that they spin. And so, like, I wonder if that's what this is. If at some point the Air Force decided that they were going to try and use rotational motion to produce flight.
Well, there was an effect, and they had it. You know, Bob Levy is a guy that worked at Area 51. If you look up his stuff, Bob Levy story or whatever, and it's they keep doing documentaries. They make. I mean, it's a thing. You know, this guy had an impact on the whole community. He goes, I worked there. Let me tell you what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. And he did. You know, and so he's, you know, not dead. I mean, of course, he's had the FBI coming around there looking for this one unobtainium, whatever the hell it was. But he goes, how it's powered is antimatter. It's an antimatter reactor inside this thing that keeps that spinning so fast, and you have to have this the reason it's in a circle is because you have to have the spinning effect, and mm-hmm. so, and they use this ferrous you know, magnetic liquid of, and which, you know, the demonstration that I saw is they just put, you know, iron molecules or filings or whatever in mercury, and then, you know, and then they spin it, and you get this effect. So it's really, it's going to be just like this kind of thing. Somebody in their backyard can do it. Now, this guy that did it here, you know, the boy had skills. He was an engineer, and he had a lathe and all that kind of, and he goes home. And you can see it just rises with this kind of spin. It just starts to go up. Well, this professor, Eric Lathwaite, came and met with this guy. And so he goes, you did it. You know, shake my hand. Peace out. You win. You know, it's like 20 years later or something. He goes, yep, you win. This is exactly the effect that we were talking about, what we wanted to do. So this just tells the story of him, and he was in aerospace, and then he just go, you know, into his office. His wife's talking about he was in there all the time, every day, forever, and kind of, you know, this is it. So this is them testing it and showing all this time. He wasn't an idiot. And he's trying, and his wife is going, he's trying to explain it to me, bring all his papers into the bedroom. He's trying to show me, I don't know, what the hell, whatever, man. I'll do the gardening, cook your meals, you can go out and play in your garage, which he did. for years and years and years, and then, yep, you did it, and then you never hear about it again. Why? You know, wow. I want to impress upon you, is that science today, as in the days of Newton, lies before us as a great uncharted ocean, and we have not yet sailed very far from the coast of ignorance. This is what they're afraid of. Humanity, how like an angel in anticipation, how we can, you know, the things that we can do, the autonomy we can have, that's what they, them, those are afraid of. Well, I'm going to make sure they're really, really, really afraid. Pace. Next hour, we got Dr. Lena Jordan Paul.